Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
DPS arrests 35 in joint human trafficking operation. OA staff writer. A press release from the Texas Department of Public Safety detailed in January the DPS Criminal Investigation Division conducted multiple adult prostitution operations and online solicitation of minors operations throughout the West Texas region. Troopers say the goal of the operations were to target individuals seeking to exploit and victimize trafficking victims, as well as to identify and apprehend individuals suspected to be involved in human trafficking by using various websites to solicit sexual acts from minors. Multiple agencies assisted in these investigations, including DPS, CID, and Texas Highway Patrol. Homeland Security investigates, El Paso Police Department, Texas Alcoholic Beverage Commission, Fort Bliss Army, CID, Odessa Police Department, Reeves County Sheriff's Office, and the DPS Intelligence and Counterterrorism Division. As a result of these operations, 35 suspects were arrested and are now facing charges. Special agents were also able to identify and open investigations into additional suspects. Obituaries. Bethany Ann Caldwell, Midland. Bethany Ann Caldwell, 62, of Midland, passed away on January 25th of 2022. Bethany was born on December 10th, 1959, in Bryan, Texas, to Marion and Ginger Johnson. Bethany is survived by her son Joshua Caldwell and his wife Valerie Caldwell, son Jacob Caldwell, and grandchildren. Bethany is preceded in death by her husband, Bogan Caldwell, daughter, Katie Caldwell, parents, Marion and Ginger Johnson, and brother, Dennis and David Johnson. Bethany's services will be private for immediate family and close friends. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Benito Cabezuelo Carrasco, Odessa. Benito Cabezuelo Carrasco was born on August 16, 1969, to the late Manuel and Alicia Carrasco. He attended Odessa High School and graduated from Permian High School. He married the late Diana Carrasco on December 26, 1992. He worked as a dispatcher for Blue Streak in Midland, Texas. He enjoyed cooking, watching his beloved Cowboys, dancing and spending time with his friends and family. He was always the life of the party. The family will receive friends for visitation Monday, February 7, 2022, from 1 to 7 p.m. at Odessa Funeral Home. The rosary will be recited at 7:30 p.m. at St. Mary's Catholic School Gymnasium. Mass of Christian burial will be celebrated on Tuesday, February 8, 2022, at 10 a.m., at St. Elizabeth Ann Seton Catholic Church. In lieu of flowers, the family requests donations to the American Diabetes Association or to the MD Anderson Cancer Center. The family of Benito wishes a special thank you to his brothers Knights from St. Mary's Knights of Columbus. Emma Lynette Springer, Odessa. Emma Lynette Springer, 86, of Odessa, Texas, passed away on January 31, 2022, at Parks Assisted Living Center in Odessa, Texas. Lynette was born on September 7, 1935, to Oralville Elmer Woods and Verna Louise Entz in Brown County, Texas. She married Jackie Dale Springer on October 14, 1959, in Abilene, Texas. She and Jack were married for 62 years. She's preceded in death by her parents, Oralville Elmer Woods, Verna Eloise Entz Newman, and her stepfather, Floyd Newman. A special thanks goes to those who cared for her at Parks Assisted Living and Home Hospice. Visitation will be Monday, February 7, 2022, at 10 a.m. at American Heritage Funeral Home. Funeral services are to begin at 11 a.m. with burial immediately following at American Heritage Cemetery. Sylvia L. Clark, Odessa. Sylvia May LeCur Clark, age 97, peacefully died on January 25, 2022, surrounded by family, which she so dearly loved. She was preceded in death by her beloved husband, Hollis, 23 years ago, and continued to marshal through as her seven children continued to grow the family tree. She was born August 22, 1924, in Moorville, Louisiana, to Joseph Wilfred LeCur and Annette Octave Mercott on a small farm. She was a gifted math student and, after graduating as valedictorian, attended Southern Louisiana University, where she met and married Hollis in 1943. The family would be honored that in lieu of flowers, a donation be made to the Alzheimer's Association, St. Elizabeth Ann Seton Building Fund, our smile train. She made a positive impact on so many, and we are grateful to have been touched by her grace and strong hand as needed. The family thanks everyone who has touched her life and ours and made them richer. She will be dearly missed and forever in our hearts. A special thanks goes to those who worked so faithfully and diligently helping her in her last years. Maria Garcia, Maxine Sanchez, Crystal Ortiz, Lissandra Kelly, Jessica Sotillo, Director of Health Care Services with Interim Health Care Hospice, was a special person the last few days of her life also. Sylvia will be interned at a private burial in Odessa, followed by a memorial mass in celebration of life at later date. Wanda L. Sides, Midland. Wanda Lee Worley Sides passed away peacefully on January 29, 2022, at her home at the Village of Manor Park in Midland, Texas. She was born Wanda Lee Setzer on June 27, 1932, in Brick Spring, Texas, to Velma Schultz and Wesley Joy Setzer. When she was 6 weeks old, she moved to Ector County to live with her grandparents, John and Lily Schultz, who resided on a farm where Gardendale is now located. She remained with her grandparents until her mother married Virgil Noel Worley, at which time she legally took the Worley name. Wanda attended Odessa schools all her life, graduating from Odessa High School in 1949. She attended Odessa College until February of 1950, when she went to work for Shell Oil Company at their TXL gas plant in No Trees. Wanda is survived by her daughter, Donna Lind, and husband, Kenneth, of Ruidoso, New Mexico, Dodie Cashel and husband, Larry, of Austin, Texas, Dana Thornton and husband, Greg, of North Richmond Hills, Texas, and six grandchildren. She will lie in state Friday, February 11th, from 1 to 4 p.m., and Saturday, February 12th, from 8 to 10 a.m., at Frank W. Wilson Funeral Director. Graveside services will be Saturday, February 12, 2022, at 11 a.m. at Sunset Memorial Gardens, with Chaplain Bill Billett officiating. In lieu of flowers, family requests memorial be made to the Permian Band Boosters in memory of Arlen and Wanda Sides in honor of their extensive work and many years of high school students participating in the program. Donations may be sent to Permian Band Boosters, care of Spencer McBurney, President, 6004 Mecca Street, Odessa, Texas, 79762. David Allen McInnes, Odessa. David Allen McInnes, 58, of Odessa, died Monday, October 26, 2020, in Odessa. Memorial services are scheduled for 2 p.m. Tuesday, February 6, 2022, at Odessa Fire Rescue Center Station. Fire Chief John Alvarez is officiating. Arrangements are by Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Filomeno P. Ramirez. Filomeno P. Ramirez, 69, died Tuesday, February 1, 2022, in Odessa. Services are pending with American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home, Crematory of Midland. Alejandra Lara Rodriguez, Odessa. Alejandro Lara Rodriguez, 47, died Tuesday, February 1, 2022, in Odessa. Services are pending with Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Larry Tucker Smith, Odessa. Larry Tucker Smith, 71, of Odessa, died Friday, January 28, 2022, in Odessa. Funeral service is scheduled for 1 p.m. February 8, 2022, at Highland and Bunch Church of Christ. Brother Gene Collins is officiating. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Thomas Porras Tellis, Odessa. Thomas Porras Tellis, 90, of Odessa, died Wednesday, February 2, 2022, in Odessa. Celebration of life is scheduled for 10 a.m. February 7, 2022, at St. Elizabeth Ann Seton Church. Burial will follow at Ector County Cemetery. Father Joe is officiating. Arrangements are by Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home of Odessa. Alina H. Villarreal, Llano, Texas. Alina H. Villarreal, 75, of Odessa, Texas, died Tuesday, January 25, 2022, in Llano, Texas. Memorial service is scheduled for 2 p.m., February 10, 2022, at St. Anthony Catholic Church, 1321 West Monahans, Odessa, Texas, 79763. Rosary followed by memorial service. Food and fellowship with the family after memorial service. Father Chavez is officiating. Arrangements are by Odessa Funeral Home, 7511 of Odessa. James Barry Sykes, Odessa. James Barry Sykes was welcomed into the eternal presence of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on Friday, January 28, 2022, at Medical Center Hospital in Odessa, Texas. The family appreciates the medical staff, especially the critical care unit, who worked tirelessly on Barry's behalf during those last few days of his life on this earth. He is now absent from the body, present with the Lord. Barry was born in Big Spring, Texas, to Abbott B. and Melba Preston Sykes on July 14, 1954. The family moved from Big Spring to Odessa in July 1959, and Barry remained in Odessa for the rest of his life. After graduating from Permian High School in 1972, Barry attended Odessa College, then began a media career that included radio stations in and around Odessa, as well as KMID-TV. In 1973, he began doing play-by-play for tape-delayed, locally televised football games in the UIL district that included Permian. He can continue doing these broadcasts through 2021 season and only miss one game during his entire career. Several years ago, Barry received the Mojo Mystique Notebook, 1959, from the football coach after it was discovered in a closet at Permian. With the help of his football broadcasting buddy, Clay Kennedy Barry, began updating the missing years in the notebook and kept it current through the end of the 2020 football season. In 2004, Barry was the voice of the play-by-play football announcer in the acclaimed sports movie Friday Night Lights. In 2016, Barry became the voice of the Falcons for the University of Texas Permian Basin football team. One notable play-by-play for the Falcons was a featured segment in the several nations' news outlets, but locally, he was most notably the voice during their football season. Barry's rich tenor voice was more than just great for announcing football games. Years ago, he was a member of the Midland-Odessa Symphony and Chorale and the Brand New Opry, the Globe Theater, and the Great Southwest at Odessa College. Barry was often a requested soloist for weddings and funerals in the West Texas area. He also joined with some friends in singing at nursing homes. For several years, he was worship leader of Grace Christian Fellowship at the church's previous location. Years later, as a soloist, he sang "O Holy Night" for the Christmas Eve service at Mid-Cities Community Center in Midland, Texas, where he was a member. Barry is preceded by his father and mother, his brother Stephen Sykes, his maternal and paternal grandparents, and many extended family members. The memorial service for Barry Sykes will be at 1 p.m. Wednesday, February 9, 2022, at Grace Christian Fellowship in Odessa. Sunset Funeral Home and Cemetery is managing arrangements. In lieu of flowers, contributions can be made in Barry's memory to the scholarship program, Barry Sykes Memorial Scholarship Award. Permian Football Booster Club, Barry Sykes Memorial Scholarship, Post Office Box 13505, Odessa, Texas, 79768. Barry Sykes Memorial Endowment Scholarship, University of Texas, Permian Basin. UTPB Office Advancement, 4901 East University Boulevard, Odessa, Texas, 79762. For more information or online giving, please contact Marisol Chrisman at 432-552-2806.
COVID-19 news by the numbers. Hector County, 36,360 total cases, 625 deaths. Midland County, 35,582 total cases, 455 deaths. Texas, 6,399,867 total cases, 80,662 deaths. U.S. cases, 76,246,964 total confirmed cases, and 898,216 deaths. Find out more at covidinthebasin.com or the CDC site at tinyurl.com/TZTRJLF. See the ECISD COVID-19 dashboard at tinyurl.com/Y6NTPTUQ. The City of Odessa Incident Command is partnering with Curative to offer the COVID-19 PCR test drive-through from 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Monday through Friday at the corner of 2nd Street and Grant Avenue. Insurance information will be requested. If no insurance, test will be free. To book an appointment, visit curative.com. The City of Odessa, in partnership with DOCS Health, have scheduled drive-through COVID-19 testing from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Sunday at the UTPB Community Sports Fields parking lot located at 191 and Loop 338. The entrance will be located on the 191 access road, 42nd Street, and exit will be on Loop 338. The site will have both PCR tests and rapid antigen tests available. This will be the second COVID-19 testing site set up by the city with no out-of-pocket cost. No appointments needed, however, online registration is available. Testing is subject to daily availability of material. PCR test results are expected within 2 to 3 days in most cases, and rapid test results will be a 15 to 20 minute wait at the site, or you can receive your results via text message. To pre-register, visit doc-shealthtesting.com or text doc-stx to 41411. Health insurance information will be requested if available. For more information, call the DOCS Health Call Center at 267-362-5207. Here are some Odessa American Quick Hits. Live debates. Basin PBS has scheduled 4 upcoming debates happening live from the Anwar Family Studio at Basin PBS. Candidates will take to the Basin PBS studio floor for a 1-hour debate each. The community is encouraged to submit questions for each debate via the Basin PBS Facebook page. Basin PBS will ask as many questions as they are able. Moderators for the debates are Becky Ferguson, Basin PBS board member, Pat Canty, publisher of the Odessa American, and Emily Holiva, president of the League of Women Voters of Midland. On Tuesday at 7 p.m., Midland County judge candidates Terry Johnson and Jonas Smoot. Wednesday at 7 p.m., State Senate District 31 candidates Stormy Bradley, Jesse Quackenbush, Tim Reed, and Kevin Sparks. Thursday, 7 p.m., Actor County Judge candidates Debbie Hayes, Justin Fawcett. February 14th at 7 p.m., Texas House of Representatives District 81 candidates Casey Gray and Brooks Landgraf. In addition to their broadcast on Basin PBS, each debate will stream on the Basin PBS Facebook page and on basinpbs.org. Follow Basin PBS on Facebook for more on news, events, and programming, facebook.com/BasinPBS. The Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center at 1310 North FM 1788, Midland, will present Dr. Jordan B. Peterson at 7:30 p.m. Tuesday. Doors open at 6:30 p.m. For tickets or information, visit WagnerNoel.com. The Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center at 1310 North FM 1788, Midland, will present Disney Princess, the concert, presented by Pandora Jewelry at 7 p.m. Wednesday. Doors open at 6 p.m. For tickets or information, visit WagnerNoel.com. AARP is offering free tax assistance to seniors by appointment from Thursday through April 12th at the Northside Senior Center at 1225 Adams Avenue. Masks are required. To schedule an appointment, call 432-337-5281. Odessa Arts recently announced the launch of Authors at the Ector. Following David Sedaris' event from October, Odessa native Elizabeth Wetmore will discuss her debut novel, Valentine, at 7 p.m. Thursday at the Ector Theater, 500 North Texas Avenue. For tickets or more information, call odessaarts.org/authors. The 40th annual Modessa Boat, RV, Sport, and Gun Show has been scheduled from 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. Friday and Saturday, and from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Sunday at the Ector County Coliseum Complex, buildings A, B, C, D, E, and G at 4201 Andrews Highway. There will be guns, a variety of booths, including resort areas, jewelry, ladies' apparel, motorcycles, ATVs, home decor, specialty foods, kayaks, boats, and RVs. Army Bass Anglers Kids Fishing Tank, sponsored by All-American Chevrolet of Odessa, will be available for the kids. Register to win door prizes from various vendors. A free tram will be provided to transport people from building to building. All exhibits are inside. Admission is $7 for adults, $5 for seniors, and $3 for children ages 3 through 11. Ladies free from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. on Friday. Visit online at modessaboatshow.com. Dance Connection, 2031 Andrews Highway, has scheduled a father-daughter dance for all ages from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Friday. Tickets are $10 per person. Visit tinyurl.com/2P86NDWA.
To Your Good Health by Dr. Keith Roach, published Saturday, February 5th, 2021. Monitor liver enzymes. Dear Dr. Roach, I am 69 years old and have multiple sclerosis, for which I have been taking Iobagio, teriflunomide, for 5 months. My monthly liver tests have been negative so far. I am concerned about the long-term effects of this drug on my liver. Can the drug damage the liver permanently over time? Also, what are the symptoms of a damaged liver? What is the liver's function? Thank you for your help. Answer. Multiple sclerosis is a disease in which the coating of nerve cells, called myelin, is destroyed by the body's immune and inflammatory systems. Symptoms of this nerve damage include numbness, weakness, and vision changes. Most people with MS have symptoms that relapse and then remit. Teriflunomide blocks some of the actions of T lymphocytes, and this has been shown to reduce the relapse rate by about 30% and decrease the progression of disability. As you point out, teriflunomide can adversely affect the liver. While 10% to 13% of people will show abnormal liver enzymes on a blood test, damage to the liver is uncommon. Most cases occur in the first 6 months after beginning treatment, so blood testing is recommended to evaluate any adverse effects on the liver. Initially, there are no symptoms, which is why blood testing is recommended. By the time symptoms have developed, there is usually extensive liver damage. Most people will not experience any ill effects of the liver, which is good, because the liver has countless functions related to making proteins that regulate most body functions, as well as detoxifying drugs and metabolic byproducts. Stopping teriflunomide caused improvement in the reported cases of liver toxicity.
Pushy sister-in-law tries to force couple to retire. Dear Abby, my sister-in-law is increasingly overbearing and abusive to me. It's always been a problem, but I ignored her nasty comments. Now I'm finally sick of it. During the last year, she's begun to insist my husband retire. She wants us to close the doors of a business we have operated for 43 years. We are highly successful. We have more than 23 employees who depend on their salaries for their livelihood, and the business is valuable. I've tried to tell her nicely to butt out, but it has only made her more abusive. I can't draw Social Security yet, so I wouldn't have any income. My husband won't say much about it. Now she's soliciting our friends to call us and harass us about retiring. Please help. Signed, Still Working in Virginia. Dear Still Working, if anyone tells you to retire and sell your business, an appropriate response would be, I know you mean well, but when we're ready to retire, we'll let you know. Dear Abby, I've been involved with someone for more than a year, and he has proposed. Being in a long-distance relationship has been very difficult. In the beginning, he was very attentive. He lives in Tennessee, and I'm in Oregon. I love him very much, and I thought we were going to have a future together. However, he is very busy with his career, so it's difficult making plans. We've set wedding dates a couple of times, and it's always getting put on hold. My problem lately is he hasn't been responding to me by text or email. He said he loves me, but I don't understand why he hasn't gotten a hold of me. What do I do now? Signed, Hanging in the Balance. Dear Hanging, I wish you had mentioned how long it had been since he has communicated with you. Could he be sick, injured, or incarcerated? If it's none of those, and it's been more than a couple of weeks, it would be fair to assume his enthusiasm has cooled, and you should reconsider the long-term distance engagement. Dear Abby, I'm a non-believer and I need advice about how to respond when people say, send prayers, or praying for you and yours, etc. There are countless prayer messages on social media for all occasions. I never know what to say because I don't pray, nor do I send prayers to anyone. Sending warm thoughts seems lame. What would be the appropriate response? Signed, Awkward in New Mexico. Dear Awkward, you're not obligated to mention anything about God or prayers. If prayers are addressed to you, thank the sender for their thoughtfulness. If they are addressed to you and your family, include the word we. If, however, the life challenge is someone else's, some appropriate responses might be, I'm sorry for your pain. I'm sending warm thoughts of love, etc., and wishes for a speedy recovery or deepest sympathy, etc.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.